Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, hey, friends. This sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's back in town. Look out, old Maggie is back.
Couldn't do it.
Can't do it.
Yes, sir. I couldn't sing. There is no singing. Welcome to hell. 202 on the fan. McMonagle here with you. I got you for 3 hours. Till 5 a.m. And the warm-up show. 888-808-1019. What was that? I mean, it goes without saying that that is as tough a loss that I've ever experienced as a Knick fan. That's one of the most tough losses I've ever experienced as any fan. I know we got the Charles Smith game and we got all the different things that have happened to this franchise. And that is one of the more sickening, stunning, unbelievable gut punches. Holy crap, where's the Tylenol? Because I don't know what just happened. As the Knicks blow a 17-point fourth quarter lead in historic fashion. And watch the Indiana Pacers, who now do this regularly. I know the Knicks just did it to the Boston Celtics twice, and we've seen it a couple times in this postseason. The Pacers did it to Milwaukee and to the Cleveland Cavaliers. But this one is special. This is a feeling as a Knicks fan that is just hard to take. We know how important this game is, and that's really what it is, too, for me. Like, and I don't know if I've heard someone say it yet. What really bothers me, as much as watching everything happen down the stretch of this game, and how I also don't want to... It's hard to talk. I'm so angry right now. But as much as we saw, a million different things have to go against them. And that's what happens when you have these collapses. There's one of 13 or 14 different things that if they don't happen exactly how they happened... We're celebrating a Knick victory today. But it's not just the idea they blew the game. It's not even just what the loss means. Because we all know the Knicks have never won a playoff series when they've lost game one at home. We know how important this game was. But what it could have been if they won the freaking game. If we were talking about how when Brunson got his fifth foul and had to exit the game and OG Anunoby has the step back three, then he has the layup on a quick 5-0 run, and the Knicks go on this run after being only up three when that happens to being up 17, and we're talking about how the Knicks played Pacers basketball, took it to them, and beat them at their own game. Because I remember watching it at the halftime, and Charles Barkley's talking about, yeah, I know the Knicks are playing well. They're up a couple points here at the half, but this game is going the way the Pacers kind of want to play it. I don't know how I feel about that. I feel like the Pacers are going to go. I'm like, what are you talking about? Charles, the hell are you talking about? Because I thought this was a statement of a victory we were about to have. Because, yes, the Pacers come out and don't miss a damn shot. We're all talking about how, you know, oh, the week off for them, the week and a day layoff for them. Let's see if they come out. They come out and hit every stinking shot to start this game. They are perfect to start this game, and the Knicks are going right back at them. And they're running with them, and they're scoring with them. And this is the type of game that we figured if it was played this way, the Knicks would be in trouble. And instead, the Knicks find a way to hang with them. You know, you heard Reggie Miller say, you know, trading baskets. They are trading baskets with a team that's not missing the entire game. You're getting a great offensive performance. Karl Anthony Towns is taking over the game at times. Brunson, who gets sloppy later. But he's on his way to having the 40-point game he's about to have. 43 to be precise. The Knicks are playing it and taking it right to the Pacers and saying to the Pacers, you want to play fast? You want to roll 9-10 deep? You want to go up and down this floor? We can do that. We can do that. To the tune of being up 17 points in the fourth quarter, and then the collapse happens. It's not just how they lost and what the loss means. It's what the win could have meant, because I think it would have been a big-time win in game one. And instead, we're sitting here wondering how the hell this happened. And from that moment where they go up 17, and yeah, look, obviously you're hearing it in the post game. Again, I turned off the TV for a second, then I had to get in my car. I haven't heard everything in the post game. I'll be honest with you. But I've heard enough about, no, we took our foot off the gas. You know, well, that always happens, right? When you have a collapse like this, they're up 17 points and the Pacers continue to play. This is what they do. And of course, you know, Naismith goes on a freaking tear and hits five fourth quarter three-pointers and makes every single one. And look, as much as angry as I am at the Knicks right now, and as much as this is an epic collapse, let's be fair. Let's just be fair for a second. The Pacers came out and made every stinking shot from that moment on. Not every single one of those threes from Naismith is wide open. Not every single one of them. Yeah, there was some bad defense there. There's some bad defense off the switch. Hart lost his feet like three or four times, and the inbound play almost lost his feet. He was slipping and sliding all over the court. Karl Anthony Towns, who was in foul trouble. Brunson, who was in foul trouble. They probably didn't want to foul playing off the ball. We said it. Don't foul. Don't give up threes. That's how you win this game. Oh, and hit your foul shots. And clearly that comes back to bite them in the ass as well, as Karl Anthony Towns is unable to hit both foul shots. OG Anunoby's unable to hit both foul shots. They did everything you could to lose it, but let's be fair just for a second before we... Let's just pause for a minute as we're going to kill the Knicks for the next 3 hours, and let's just be fair. The Indiana Pacers also won this game. They came out and hit every big shot. Naismith was hitting it from all over the place. But as you start to feel this momentum, and as you watch them hit their threes, and you see the defense not overplaying the three-pointer when they absolutely should, there are some bad breaks for the Knicks as well. Obviously, that looks like a goaltending now on Brunson, and they don't get the goaltending call. OG Anunoby can't hold on to a ball, and then a loose ball foul is turned back off of replay. That has to go their way. Naismith hits every stinking shot. And then, of course, you get the missed foul shots, which is always key in these games. And it's just an absolute epic collapse. And now you got to try and get off the deck, off of this game, off of this ugly, disgusting game that you all knew going into overtime they were losing. And then we get to the final shot. And some people aren't annoyed by this, or some people think, oh, the game was lost by this time already. That shot by Halliburton. I have never seen a ball go so freaking high in the air and then come straight down right through the net like that. I celebrated for half a second. I jumped up when the ball went off the rim. I said, woo, thank God. I could not believe that ball came straight down. I mean, so many different things had to go against them. So many different things had to go the Pacers' way. And yes, it's an epic collapse. And they did not play well down the stretch. Then in overtime, they allow a three-pointer in the corner to Nembhard, which was a killer three-pointer. They're sloppy with the basketball. And I thought, let's be fair. Brunson was terrible in the overtime performance. Terrible. Dribbling all over the place, looking for fouls. He got some and got to the line in overtime, but they were sloppy with the basketball, throwing it all over the place. It was impossible for them to inbound. And then, yeah, the play in the overtime where Tibbs doesn't put a... there's a lot of problems with Tibbs, right? We'll get to it. And you guys might have a lot of problems with Tibbs. I'm going to take your phone calls almost immediately here. 888-808-1019. The challenge on the foul that leads to them not having a challenge the rest of the game, fine. Obviously not. Making sure the team guards the three-point line better. Okay, you know, playing the bench or whatever, being more fresh. We could have all the problem I have with them is how do you not have someone on the inbounder in that final possession where you get the dunk from Toppin? They're talking about it. Every single inbound the Knicks tried to make was damn near impossible. Damn near impossible. And you allow them just to willy-nilly get it in and let him get to the basket? I don't know how that's possible. That's one of the more embarrassing plays I've ever seen. And they're lucky they didn't get an N1. It didn't matter, but they're lucky they didn't get an N1 on that call. How is that possible? How are you not making it more difficult to inbound the ball? So many things about that game, and I know I'm kind of all over the place, but I can't even see straight how mad I am at how the Knicks played down the stretch of this game. How, and for me, a lot of it is I thought it was going to be more than just a typical game one. I thought there was meaning behind how the game was played. I truly did. It would have been one thing if the Knicks played it their way. If the Knicks were able to slow down the game. If the Pacers came out cold to start the game. If the Pacers really struggled to find their rhythm. The Knicks played it at their pace and said, we can play. You want to play it this way? We'll play it this way. You can't beat us no matter how it goes. Charles Barkley at halftime talking about this is the way the Pacers want to play it. Okay, it's the way the Pacers want to play it. They're doing it better than the Pacers. They're doing it better than the Pacers. You got Mitch Robinson having a major impact at the beginning of this game. Defensively on the offensive glass. Like there was a lot of statements made in this game. I thought there was a lot of positives, more than just they were going to win it. I thought there were positives on how the game was played. And to go and end up losing a game that is historic. We could talk about all the different collapses that have happened over this postseason. We could talk about all the way the Pacers have beat a bunch of different teams. Took a game from Milwaukee this way. Took a game from Cleveland this way. The fact of the matter is that this is something different. Rich Cimini put out a stat. I don't know if Keith talked about it. Heading into this game in the playoffs, since 1998, any team that was up 9 or more points in the final minute of the game, either in overtime or in the fourth quarter, up by 9 with a minute left to play, those teams were 1,414-0. It happened 1,414 times prior between last night and 1998. And no team had ever lost that game. The Knicks are the first. So I get it. This has been a trend in the NBA playoffs. I get it. In today's game where the three-point play is, the three-pointers are so prevalent, and you have so many different guys who can hit them, I get it. The Knicks just took down two 20-point deficits in the first two games against the defending champ on their court. By no means are any of these games over. We understand it. This one in particular is hard to fathom. And there are some bad breaks. There's some bad defense. But I got to be totally honest with you. Naismith hit every damn shot, and not all of them were wide open. Some of them were contested. Some of them were for 5 feet behind the line. He hit five straight baskets. They scored 20 points in the last 2.5 minutes, and the Knicks scored six. It's not like the Knicks didn't hit a basket. When the Knicks beat the Celtics didn't score for eight straight minutes. The Knicks scored some baskets. The Knicks hit shots. The Knicks got to the foul line. The Knicks blew this game. I'm not trying to say it any other way, but let's give a little bit of credit to the Indiana Pacers. This was an incredible run from them. And then, you know, who cares? Like, honestly, the choke thing, I know I've been all nostalgic about Reggie Miller and him being part of the broadcast and it taking us back to those years. The Knicks won that series with the choke game in it. The Knicks won that game. Won that series. And I really don't care. I don't care. It didn't bother me at all. I'm not focused on that. I'm focused on the here and now. We have plenty of time for nostalgia. I'm doing 5 hours tomorrow. We could do nostalgia. I did 4 hours the other night. That's when we can have fun with nostalgia. I don't give a damn as my heart's being ripped out of me that it, oh, wow, he's taking it back to Reggie Miller. I don't care. To the victor go the spoils. I don't care what he does. I mean, an impossible game to take. And now you look at this series, and again, no Knick team has ever won a series after losing game one at home. And this team that I have been, my rallying cry for this team is I trust them. They bounce back after losses. They have not lost two games in a row. They bounce back. They have games where their effort sucks. This was not one of them until the last 2.5 minutes of the game, which is filled with mistakes. And then overtime, filled with sloppy basketball, including Jalen Brunson. And I talk about legacy games and legacy series. Talked about it yesterday. This is a legacy series for the Knicks. They have to win this series. And as much as we love Brunson and as much as we love this team, you can't lose this series. You have to. This is where your legacy gets built. You have to move on to the NBA Finals. You have to take down a team you're favored to beat. You have to take down a team when you have home court advantage. When you slay the dragon that was the Boston Celtics, you have to go on and make that matter. It's legacy. And right now, I'm sorry. I understand. I turned on the and not to kill MSG. I think they do a great job. But, you know, I watched a little bit of the post game on TNT, and then I turned over to MSG, and the first thing I saw was a graphic about how many 40-point games Jalen Brunson's had in the playoffs. The first thing I saw. I don't know how long they were doing it. I'm not sure how many minutes into their post-game it was, but I turned on the MSG post-game, and there it is, waxing poetic about the another 40-point performance from Jalen Brunson. Let me tell you something right now. Jalen Brunson had some big baskets in this game. His footwork's incredible. The ability, you know, to shoot off balance, to keep his defenders off balance, and great, great. He's a -8 in this game. I don't care he scored 43. He's dribbling the ball away in the fourth quarter. That's what I'll remember of the game from Jalen Brunson. It is. And if the Knicks lose this series, this is the game we will remember. And that will be the legacy of this New York Knicks team. Found a way to beat the Celtics, blew the opportunity to go to the NBA Finals. That's what we'll remember. We will remember the last 2.5 minutes of game number one. That's what legacies are. And I'm sorry, last night, I don't care he scored 43 points. Let's be totally honest. And I'm not trying to knock him because there's plenty of guys to knock. OG Anunoby in this game, I mean, Hart in this game can't keep his feet. He's slipping all over the place. He almost leads to a turnover on an inbound play. He's on a important Naismith three. He's slipping and doesn't get a good break on the screen and fight through the screen and leads to an open three. He's all over the place. OG Anunoby can't hold on to the damn ball, misses a foul shot. Karl-Anthony Towns, who took over this game for a time, lackadaisical, you know, closing out on threes at the end of the game and missing an enormous foul shot. Like, there's plenty of blame to go around. This isn't the blame Jalen Brunson game. But when I turn on, you know, MSG, and the first thing I see is, wow, you know, he's now, with only in a couple of years, he's already tied the team record for most 40-point playoff games. He's a minus eight in this game. They went on their run to what was supposed to be the deciding run and win this game when he's on the bench. And in the fourth quarter, he's dribbling the ball all over the place, getting it slapped away, falling on the floor, and not having good possessions. That's what I remember of this game. I don't go, ooh, another 40-point performance. Wow, this really is impressive. That's what we remember. And I remember every stinking mistake of this game, and I remember not getting the sure, I remember not getting the goaltending call. And I remember that shot going higher off the rim than any shot I've ever seen that fell back down right through. They caught some bad breaks. And you have to blow a game like this. You have to. But their inability to guard the three-point line, their inability to get to hit their foul shots at the end of this game, their inability to hold on to the freaking ball. So many mistakes. They get a four-point lead out of the gate in overtime, and they give up a three, and then the possessions got awful. It's an ugly loss, and it's now time to see if this team that I have claimed I trust, and a team that I believe in, and a team that we have seen bounce back from games, I don't know about quite like this, but we have seen bounce back from bad performances in tough spots, in must-win games, show up and give you an incredible effort. I thought they were on their way to doing that. Now they have to rally, take a day, get off their feet, and get ready for Friday, because they better bring the biggest effort they've had all year long, because now this is a must-win Friday night, Madison Square Garden. And if they lose this series, that will be what defines them. And this loss and blowing a 17-point fourth quarter lead and blowing a 9-point lead with less than a minute, the first team to do so out of damn near 1,500 tries since 1998, is going to be what defines them. So we're going to find out Friday what this Knick team is all about and whether or not last night defines them, or is just an ugly night we forget about. 888-808-1019. Let's get to a couple calls here in the open, because this is about us Knick fans, not just me. It's about you. It's about all of us. It's about coping with the idea that we went from what was, with 2.5 minutes left, in my estimation, and maybe I'm blowing it out of proportion, but I thought it was going to be a real positive game one win. It wasn't just going to be like, hey, the home team won the first game, it's anybody's series, which I don't think I would have got away from necessarily. I wouldn't have thought the Knicks put a dagger through the Pacers and the series would be over. But I thought it was a positive win, because I thought the game went the way the Pacers wanted it to go. It was an up and down, back and forth, basket for basket kind of game. And if the Pacers are going to win this series, that's what we expected they would have to play. And the Knicks came out and played it. They weathered the storm of the Pacers hitting every single shot to start the game. And then they pulled away without their superstar on the floor in the fourth quarter. I thought this was going to be a very important key win with a lot of positives to look back on and a message sent to the Pacers of, hey, play your game. I don't give a damn. We're going to try and play ours. We're hoping the games go differently. We're going to try and slow it down. We're going to still do what we're trying to do, which is not necessarily play this game. But if it happens to go that way, if we happen to get into a shooting match, if we happen to get into one of these games where it's up and down, flying all over the court, that's okay. We can handle it. We just kicked your ass doing that. It doesn't matter how these games go. We're going to win. And instead, the complete opposite. It doesn't matter how much you're up by how many points, how late in the game, this is what the Pacers do. And both of these teams have done this. Both of these teams have come from behind. The MO for both of these teams is to pull games out of the fire. And that's the other thing. This is where the Knicks live. The Knicks live pulling the game. Keep it close. Keep it close. Keep it close. Keep it close. This is what they do. This is where they get their wins. The first 46 minutes of the game is the Knicks telling the Pacers, we don't care where you live. Here we are playing your game, and we just kicked your ass. And the last 2.5 minutes, the Pacers saying, oh, you like to pull comebacks out of your ass? You like to be the best team in the fourth quarter? You like to win it when it's close? That's not you, that's us. It's a bitter pill to swallow, and it's going to be very difficult to get off the deck and try and win this game on Friday night. Let's get to Lee in Brooklyn. What's up, Lee? Lee, you on the fan? Put Lee back on hold. Jordan in Long Island. What's up, Jordan?
Hey, C-Mac. Thanks for taking my call, man.
Yeah, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Oh, man, I'm not doing great, man. This one really hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's game one. Coming off this Celtics series, it felt great to actually start a game off competitive. We're going back and forth. It felt like we came ready to play for once.
It was fun. And then, I actually tweeted out at halftime, like, it wasn't even necessarily the Knicks are going to win or, you know, let's kick our feet up. I'm having a blast because the Knicks are better. It was kind of just like this game of basketball was really electric. It was up and down. It was fast paced. It was big shots. It was just a fun, compared to what the Celtics series felt like a lot is getting blown out. And, you know, it was just nothing but chucking up threes, although these guys shoot their fair share of threes. This was like a fun brand of basketball. I was enjoying it. It was the Eastern Conference Finals. It was a well-played game. The Knicks were playing well, shooting well, and it just felt like a lot of fun. And then to have it end like this, I mean, just it's a gut punch of all gut punches.
Right, and I'm saying we've been known in the fourth quarter to really turn it up. That's been our thing, especially in that Celtics series. And then to almost be up 20 and then squander it.
Yep.
I'm beside myself. The defense, terrible. Josh Hart's skating all over the floor.
What the hell was that?
Even up easy layups.
Yeah, a couple of times.
It's something we don't see.
Yeah, Miles McBride was giving up layups. He had a great block. Like, and he played good too. And thank you for the call, Jordan. Deuce played good. Deuce played well. We talked about that the Knicks weren't going to have a lengthy bench, right? You knew the Pacers were going to roll 10 deep. The Knicks weren't going to roll 10 deep. The Knicks have two guys on the bench, man. And Campaign even came in and hit a couple threes. But the Knicks aren't going to roll all that deep. It's Mitchell Robinson and it's Deuce McBride. And Mitchell Robinson was playing great, impacting the game immediately. He comes in and immediately gets like two offensive rebounds. Cameron Payne hits goes 2 for 5 from downtown, and McBride hits his first three. McBride plays defense. McBride gets a block at the rim on a dunk. Like, the bench played really well. Van Gundy said it a couple times. He's like, I know the Pacers bench is scoring more, but that's just by the sheer volume of players that are touching the floor. But if you look at the plus minuses, McBride's a +5 in this +12 in this game. Mitchell Robinson ends up being even. Cameron Payne's a +5. Like, their bench was better. Their bench was having more impact. Everything about it was like they're playing the Pacers game and they're beating them at it. And then finally, at the end of it, they played the Knicks game and beat them at that. Ed in Mohegan. What's up, Ed?
Hey, man, how you doing? How am I doing?
Good, how are you doing?
I wasn't going to call. I hate calling the fan after games like this, but I can't sleep.
No,
you know, I'm thinking, go ahead.
Yeah, I can't sleep either. I would have to be here anyway,
You got to be here anyway, so it works out for you. But two things. I'm going to take a different take.
Okay.
I'm kind of excited because my son is vacationing. He's in Florida with my grandparents watching the game. Became a really big Knicks fan the past maybe 2 or 3 years. Was always a Curry fan, but then like switched over to the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think him and every other guy, I would say 25 and under, that would be fair, officially became Knicks fans. Because now they hurt the way we all hurt from watching Game 6 against Houston, the Reggie game, and countless others. That this game today made official Knicks fans, or those like little Joe Beningos are going to come out of this game. You're going to see it.
I understand that, and you're, I guess you're not wrong, Ed. But I mean that you want to talk about trying to find a silver lining in pain. Your point is,
I'm being facetious.
Yeah, I know. I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. Yeah, this was
what game have they played? I mean, because they can come back and win this series, and it won't matter.
No, it's been a long. If your point is, and it is a twisted one, and it's a little bit of a variation of my point on some nights when I talk Knicks, there is nothing worse than being indifferent. I'd rather be hurt, I'd rather be in pain than indifferent. And for years, many of us Knicks fans were indifferent with the organization and the team because of how bad they were. And we woke up one day and didn't recognize the team. We became indifferent. And if your point is, well, at least we're back to a spot and kids of 25 and 30 and under now are invested like we were, and you understand the pain of losing to the Pacers, you understand the pain of the missed finger roll, you understand the pain of Charles Smith under the basket, you understand the pain of Starks going ice cold in the NBA Finals, you understand the pain of what it is to be a Knicks fan after all these years of indifference. It does speak to where the organization is now and where it has been, and that is a major positive, because you can't have nights like last night unless you're a good winning franchise. You can't have it. And I even talked about it. For me, I tweeted out, I've got new nightmare fuel that I can finally let go of Game 5 of the World Series in that fifth inning. I can finally let it go because I've just been hurt almost as bad. I've been hurt almost as bad. And quite honestly, this might be worse when you think about it. If you're a Yankee Knicks fan, this might be worse. And I'll tell you why after the break. 888-808-1019. Quick break. We're going to get right back to your phone calls. This is about you guys. We're going to vent through this thing. I do think it's a Knicks collapse. It's also the Pacers played really well and made every big-time shot. And Naismith went absolutely, he just went in fuego. That's what it reminded me. He was NBA Jams in fuego. You couldn't stop him. The net was on fire. The Knicks didn't play good enough defense. The Knicks made too many mistakes, including Brunson. And I'm not trying to kill MSG, but I got to be honest. I turn on MSG, and they have a graphic of how many 40-point games he has. Are we serious? That should have been in the last 10 minutes of the postgame. Gives a damn about how many 40-point games he had after that the collapse. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. Come back with more of your calls next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, hey, friends. This sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Nerds!
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
All right, McMonagle here with you, 238 on the Fan, 888-808-1019. And yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people are, you know, going back to, if this game reminded them of anything, it reminded them of Kevin Durant with his foot on his line, foot on the line for the Nets. That's just a one moment, or maybe it reminded you of, obviously, with Halliburton doing the choke sign of Reggie Miller. It took you back to that series against the Knicks, which the Knicks won, by the way. But to me, the pain took me right back to what Jerry Seinfeld would love me to talk about more often. Game 5 of the World Series and that fifth inning and watching a 5-run lead dissipate. And going on to lose that game and hence lose the World Series. Now, I'm just curious if there are any Yankee Knick fans out there. Because to me, this almost finally puts to bed. The one silver lining of all this is that I'm kind of like, this helps me get over the World Series because this is, I'm sick. And I'll be totally honest with you. Now, if the Knicks come back and win the series, which by the way, it's not over. It's 78% of the conference finals. The teams who win the first game wins the series, 78%. So they're battling uphill just that way. And then this Knick franchise has never won a playoff series when losing the first game at Madison Square Garden. So they are up. They are battling uphill. There's no other way to put it. Doesn't mean the series is over. Those are just numbers. Hell, the Pacers had a 99.7% chance of losing this game last night. So you never know. The series isn't over by a long shot. It's game one. So if they come back and win the series, then it's in no comparison. But the idea that, you know, the Yankees were already down 3-1. Even if they won that game, even if that fifth inning didn't happen, they still have to go back out to L.A. and win both games there. It was going to be a very difficult task to win that series, even if they didn't have that epic collapse in the fifth inning. Don't get me wrong. It's ugly. It's hideous. It was a damnation on everything wrong about the New York Yankees. It was impossible to watch. It made me want to rip my hair out. But you can make a case that the Yankees had probably already lost that series. This was an opportunity to take an enormous step in the direction of having your being in the driver's seat of this series. You being the team that wins 78% of the time. You being the team that takes game one. You being the team that made a statement in the way the game was played. You being that team. Not to just make it back to 3-2 and have to go win 2 games on the road. But to take the first game of this series and have an opportunity to take a stranglehold on the series game 5 and game Friday night, game number 2. Now you have to just keep your season alive, you have to go out and win a game on Friday night. It is an enormous swing inside the series. The Yankees blew an opportunity to try and chase something special and already down in the series. The New York Knicks blew an opportunity to really take a big step in the direction of being in the driver's seat. This is make no mistake about it. You could say anything. I know, you know, Positive Tommy's put out a video and Knick fans can be positive. The series isn't over. And if they come out and win Friday night, we'll all kind of reassess and feel better about things. But make no mistake, you can't get into a series with a team like this. That, you know, was here last year, that's got a bunch of big-time players, You saw the way they played the game this last night. You saw what this team is capable of. You know how good the head coach is. You know how good this team is. You can't blow an opportunity to win any of these games in a seven-game series. This is a devastating loss. Say whatever you want. Talk about anything you want. You know, come back and win Friday. Hey, you get a split. Nobody would have said this if they won last night and then lost on Friday. I'm sure you hear a lot about that. Hey, it was a split. Doesn't matter how it happened. It does. It does matter. Because there's not going to be many games in a seven-game series that you have a 17-point lead with 2.5 or 17-point lead in the fourth quarter and an 11-point lead or whatever it was with 2.5 minutes left. 14-point lead with 2.5 minutes left. You don't get those opportunities, and you cannot squander them. Last night was a devastating, devastating, sickening loss. One of the worst in franchise history, if not the worst. And if they lose this series, it might very well be the worst loss in franchise history. Shelby in Chicago. What's up, Shelby?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. So, very sad about tonight. I just want to call in. I've never gotten in on the show before. Yeah, not in the best situation, but I got to be honest. I think we're the better team.
Mm-hmm.
I think tonight, it's 1:43 here and I'm calling in and it's keeping me up all night and it sucks. But I think when I look at the, so I went to game three last year against the Pacers in Indiana.
Okay.
Nembhard hit the 3-point shot and they sent us home.
Yep.
And, I felt good about them then. And the fans booed me out of the section. It was terrible. It was awful. Their fans were, you know, whatever. But I got to be honest with you. There's a magic with this team. I feel like tonight what sucked was, yes, it was terrible losing that way. But I also think free throws made a huge difference down the stretch.
Of course. I mean, listen, that's
obviously.
If either one of those free throws go down, I mean, they went.
It's a different game.
Well, yeah. They win the game.
And you're an all pro, Cat. Maybe make one of those. But I got to be honest with you. I really do think we are the better team, whether bench everyone wants to talk this or not. I'm not going to get negative now because that's just not the way I view sports. But I will say this to you. OG Anunoby, he needs to wake up. There has been a little bit of like this vibe with when he gets the ball, I just don't feel comfortable right now with him. I think down the stretch, I still believe in Jalen Brunson and Kat and stuff, but I do think the Knicks, when they get comfortable, there seems to be this, I'm going to let up defensively a little bit. And that bothers me because that's not who we are. I think that's not who Tibbs has coached them to be. I just want your opinion on OG a little bit recently, his ball handling skill, all that has been a little iffy. I still have faith. I still think we can do this. I know it's against history, but you know what? I feel magic this year in the Knicks team, and I'm still going to be positive. And let's go Knicks.
Listen. Yeah, absolutely, Shelby. Again, I'm listen, this is raw. All right, I don't have the benefit of going to sleep on it and waking up and, you know, doing the morning or midday or afternoon show. Like, this is raw. This just happened. I watched the game. I turned off the television. I drove to work to come here and talk about it. Like, it is raw for me. So, like, I don't think this is being negative. This is me just telling facts. They blew a game that you can't afford to blow. Doesn't mean they're going to lose. I think they can still win the series. They go out and win Friday night, we're all going to feel better about this. I totally agree. And I felt great about it. That's part of the reason it's bothering me is I felt great about it. I thought that was the exact, I thought it was going to be a really positive win. More than just a normal game one win. I thought it was going to be a real positive win with a statement made. And instead, they freaking blew it. And so, I mean, if I'm coming off negative tonight, it's only because it's a gut-wrenching loss that I'm still struggling to come to terms with. But, yeah, I mean, I think you could make the argument they're the better team. I think Karl Anthony Towns played the exact kind of game you want from him. He did hit three. He did hit foul shots most of the night. I mean, I think he only missed the one foul shot. which is a killer foul shot. Let me just double check, because I know he got fouled on the three-pointer. They had like back-to-back, was it back-to-back possessions or two out of three possessions? I think it was back-to-back possessions where you had Deuce McBride get fouled on a three-point attempt, and then you had Karl Anthony Towns get fouled on a three-point attempt. And Karl Anthony Towns was 9 of 11 from the free throw line, so he missed two. But yeah, if he hits that, and I didn't like any, if you noticed, if you go back and watch it, because I made, in my mind, I said, I don't like how he's staring at the rim so long. He was just staring at the rim for that second free throw attempt. That, if he hits that, it would have been one of the great wins of all time. Think, well, I don't know about, that's a little bit hyperbole, but think of that moment. Think of that moment if they're up three, he hits that shot off of the backboard and in, the Pacers all celebrate. Wait a minute. Foot's on the line. It's only a two. Knicks win. That would have been a classic. That would have been a lot of fun. We would have had a lot of fun at the expense. Now, he probably wouldn't have done the choke thing because it only would have been a tie game in his mind, but it would have been a classic moment to go back. Then we really would have talked about Durant, and we would have talked like that would have been, imagine that. The Pacers all go nuts. Wait a minute. Nope, foot's on the line. Knicks win by one. And then OG Anunoby, yeah. I thought he blew out his hamstring again earlier in the game, because I don't know what the hell happened to him as he's about to go up for a dunk. He's got a clear lane to the basket, and he just pulled a mental mind fart by either, I don't know if he got confused on whether he wanted to lay it in or dunk, and he just did nothing. He just went up there and dropped the ball. I've never seen anything like it in my life. But then you got to give him credit, though. You do have to give OG Anunoby credit. You could say whatever you want about him. That five, he began the road to building the 17-point lead. His step-back three, and then followed by the basket underneath, which was a tough shot, went on that little 5-0 run and separated them, and then they played. That's when those back-to-back possessions with the foul shots off of the fouled three-pointers, like that's when they started to make their mark and where they pulled away where you thought they were going to win the game. So, and then OG's defense at times was pretty good in this game, but you can't miss that foul shot. You got to make the foul shots. There's no doubt about it. The Knicks, from the free throw line tonight, were 28 of 40, 70%. I know Mitch Robinson's 0 for 2. Mikal Bridges missed both foul shots. Man, when you love to have one of those, Mikal Bridges gets two foul shots missed. Now, the Pacers only shot 75%, so you could play that game forever. What if they hit their foul shots earlier in the game? I know. But Karl Anthony Towns, that was a... And here's another thing. How about this for a second? You know, right? And you know they're going to try and go for a steal in a couple of these late inbounds, right? With both the OG Anunoby foul, where he gets fouled and takes the shot, and Karl Anthony Towns late in the game. You know they're going to look to make a steal or trap before fouling. How about somebody else besides Jalen Brunson gets the ball so that you can get him the ball off the trap and let him be the foul shooter? He's their best foul shooter. If I want anybody, it's Mr. Clutch at the foul line. How about understanding that and trying to get him the one who's fouled instead of inbounding it to him off of a tough, you know, inbound, having him dribble into the corner, get double teamed, then he has to give it up. And one time it was almost a turnover. He got on the OG Anunoby foul. They got lucky because he gets trapped in the corner. He tries to throw it off a defender's leg and it ends up just going out in the middle of the court and OG Anunoby's able to pick it up. How about, I know you want to get him the ball, I understand that, but how about trying to find a way to get him at the foul line? And then the same thing when he has the ball underneath, instead of trying to make the pass to OG Anunoby, dribble it out and let them foul you. Take as much time off the clock and you get fouled and go to the line instead of giving it to OG Anunoby. Now, if that pass is made and OG Anunoby handles it, is it an easy dunk or an easy layup? Maybe. But I don't, Brunson, don't give the ball up. Like, there are so many little things. And obviously, they caught some bad breaks. I'm sorry. We're going to kill the Knicks, and rightfully so. That's a goaltend, and it wasn't called on him. It happened real quick. It wasn't an obvious one, but it's a goaltend. And you'd like to make sure you get goaltending calls right. That's why typically, and they said this on the MSG postgame too, and they're right, typically they'll call a goaltend if it's close so that they can look at it. They don't. It was very close, but it looked like a goaltend to me. And then, of course, the last shot of the game of regulation, that ball goes straight. How does that ball go straight up in the air like that and come straight down? So, a couple of things. The Knicks blew it, without question. But Naismith went off. Like, not every one of those shots were open. Yeah, they could have played better defense. He hit all five. He hit every one down the stretch of that game. Every one. And not all of them were wide open. They got a bad call against them. And that shot has no business going in at the end of the regulation. Just has no business going in. A couple things went against them there, which is going to have to happen, but they did not make the most of it. Charlie and Warren, what's up, Charlie?
What's up, my man? I appreciate you picking up my call.
You got it, buddy. Thank you for making it. What's up?
I'm just, I've been waiting for this moment for so long. Why is this happening? Why? It's like, I can't even speak about it.
No, I mean,
so angry.
I know.
I'm so angry.
I'm having a tough time. I was not looking forward. I got to be honest with you. When this happens, this is the one thing. Now, I'm happy to talk to you guys, and I do love doing what I'm doing, and thank you for the call. But I got to be honest. I care so much about this stuff, and I was pacing my floor. I just want to, when this game ends, I just want to crawl into a ball, man. I'll be totally honest with you. When I used to live in my mother's house back in Franklin Square, this was the epitome of a laundry room game. The minute the game ended, I wouldn't have watched post game. I wouldn't have stuck around for it. I wouldn't have bothered with it. Now I have to on some level because I got to talk about what was said in the post game or find out what was said in the post game. Today I didn't have a chance. I had to get right in my car and drive here. But like this would be a typical if it were just a back, you know, me being a normal guy, however many years ago, like the TV would go off immediately and I would go into the laundry room and sit with my back up against the fridge that we had in the laundry room. In the dark, and I would just sit there for a long time. That's what I wanted to do today. I don't want to, but it's what we do. I'm happy to do it, but this is a brutal, brutal loss. And I don't know what to say either. It's tough to come up with the words to describe the sickening feeling because this is the first time they've been to an Eastern Conference Finals in 25 years. We've been talking about it for the last week. 25 years since they have been at this point. And they were 2.5 minutes away from taking a game one victory that now we're going to talk the numbers in the opposite way. 78% of the time, game one winner wins the conference finals. 78% of the time. The New York Knicks have never won a playoff series when losing the first game at home. They were 2.5 minutes from a resounding victory where they came out and took it to the Pacers and shoved their own game back at them. The Pacers came out. We were all talking about how they might be a little bit rusty. They hadn't played in a week. They came out and hit, their first 9 shots? They hit everything. And the Knicks stayed with them. And the Knicks were going basket for basket with them. And Karl Anthony Towns was taking over the game in the early part of the game, just like we wanted him to do. Everything was going the Knicks' way. They were 2.5 minutes from a very impressive win that put them in the 80% driver's seat. In the first Eastern Conference Finals in 25 years, instead, it ends in that fashion. It ends in a manner that over the last 28 or 27 years since 1998. It's happened 1,414 times and no team had ever blown it. They're one of 1,414 times. I mean, it's just not right. And it's just not right. This is an ultimate kick in the junk. And now, let's take your calls when we get back after the update, and we'll try and fathom and try and figure out how the hell this team gets off the deck. Because having said everything that I've just said, I have to be fair. I trust this team. They have shown me their ability to get off the deck time and time again. This series is not over, as much as I've been annoyed over the last hour, and really since the game ended. And as frustrated as I am and all the numbers I just gave you, This series is not over. Those numbers have nothing to do with this series. I think the Knicks for 46 minutes of this game or 45 and a half minutes of this game were on their way to proving they're the better team. Jalen Brunson, again, as much as I'm frustrated with how he played in overtime, scored 43 points. Karl Anthony Towns, as much as I can't stand, he missed that free throw, scored 35 points. And if it wasn't for Naismith going off, if it wasn't for a tough call on a goaltend, and if it wasn't for the most unbelievable shooter's bounce I've ever seen in a big spot in my life, the Knicks are victorious in this game. Now, that's not to dismiss all the mistakes they made. I'm just saying I've trust this team. They haven't put back-to-back bad performances in a row. They haven't lost two games in a row. They're going to have to find a way at home still to get off the deck and win this game Friday night. And if they do, series is tied. They got to go get a split in Indiana and come back for a game five with an opportunity to go up 3-2. Nothing changes. But now Friday is a must win, and they've got to find a way to get off the deck like they have every other single time. I still trust this team as much as I am annoyed with them at the moment. 888-808-1019. Quick break, update with Marco, and we'll come back and continue to take your phone calls all the way to 5 a.m. The Warm-Up Show. 888-808-1019. Hang with me. We'll be right back.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.